And of course, that's one of the reasons that James is so straightforward. He's so simple. He's so practical. Because he had the Lord Jesus Christ for all those growing up years in his house. And we read the Gospels, we realize that Jesus didn't use flowery language. He didn't sort of waste his time with, you know, sort of, you know, pious jargon and, you know, sort of meaningless platitudes. He just said what he meant and meant what he said. And so we see this very clearly. We've only looked at the first verse last week, but at the end of the first verse, James just says, greetings. That's the shortest greeting in the whole of the New Testament. There's nothing else added to it. Paul never limits himself just to that. He goes on with all other kinds of things as well. James just says, g'day, and then just launches straight in to what he's got to say. And the first part of what he says is for us to understand that trials are an indispensable part of life when you're on the road. They're not the whole of life. Sometimes we swing to whichever end of the pendulum. We either, you know, want everything to be sugar-coated and find difficulties as if, you know, we've got some sort of sense of expectation from God that this should not be part of our life, or we're up the other end of that spectrum, you know, full of lamentation about everything, and this is just the way that it is, and life is hard, and you know, singing in Sunday. I sometimes look at the musos up here, and you know, they're I'm sitting there saying, smile, you know, give us a big smile. And it must be really hard to play guitar and sing and smile at the same time. I can't do any of those things together. But when I was worship leading a few weeks ago, I looked out and I could see it was not, we weren't smiling that much either. And I was thinking, poor old Jared up here on the drums, you know. So we sort of smile at each other. I think that's the sort of way to go, isn't it? You know, you smile at someone in a turnstile and they'll smile back at you. Just as long as you don't smile too much, young ladies, because, you know, that can be dangerous too. But we sometimes swing to either way of that. And that's not really what James is saying here. Trials are not the whole of life, but nevertheless, they are unavoidable. Verse 2, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind. So notice he doesn't say if you face trials of some kind, but he says whenever you face trials of any kind. It's a unavoidable part of life. But James wants us to think of them in a creative way. He wants us to think of them the way we might think of a car trial, which to people who love cars is great fun. To a car, a hill trial, you ever watched a hill trial, an old car just tearing up some muddy old hill? Gooseberry Hill was the place in Western Australia where you'd go. And these cars are just, they almost came alive, grinning, you know, with their big grills and their eyes, saying, let me at it. And they'd take off, you know, or a sea trial, a ship that gets built, and it's built for the sea. And when it slips off the dock, it goes out on all these sea trials, goes for months in all kinds of weather, not to sink it, but to see what it's capable of, to put it through its tests, if you like, to give it something to get into. Its natural habitat is there out on the ocean, not on the slip rail. And so it's a trial, but it's a trial that is designed to be triumphed through. And James wants us to think about trials in that same kind of sense. A bird who just tests its wings. It's a test, but it's not designed to knock the bird down on the ground. It's designed to show that bird what God has made it capable of doing. I was up at Murray Bridge the other day visiting the minister up there, and afterwards I went down to the river in this part near where he lived, and it was just a mill pond, and it was just beautiful, and these pelicans were just sailing down the river, and I was looking at them, and then I looked up in the sky, and way up, they looked so small, but they were pelicans. There was 10 of them. And they were just going around. They were so high, just not paddling, not flapping at all, just in a thermal. And they were just going up. I'd never seen so many big pelicans like that all together catching a thermal. And I was imagining what's going on between them, as they're looking at one another. What are they saying to each other? What fun it looked like. What a great way to be. But I couldn't do that. But they can. That's what they're designed for. Well, we're designed, James is saying, to live life. And part of living life is the joy and the thrill and the excitements. And part of living life is the trials and the battles and whatever that is that we go through. He wants us to think creatively about it because he says, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy. That's an amazing word to have in the same sentence as trials and struggles and battles. We often think, well, why do we have to face life? Why must life be like this? Well, it is like this because of the fall. The fall's real. We've got to take that seriously. We're all impacted by what happened back in Genesis. We're all impacted either emotionally or intellectually or physically or whatever in some way. And the other thing we got to take into consideration is not just the fall, but free will. Free will is still there in our life. So we make choices, and sometimes we make dumb choices. Sometimes we make hurtful choices that hurt other people, sometimes hurt us. Other people have free choices. And we sometimes fall foul of their poor choices or the choices that they make as a result of the impact of the fall in their intellectual situation or their social situation or whatever it might be. And so, trials of any kind will come to us all. They may be disappointments, they may be sorrows, they may be hurts, they may be letdowns, they may be heartbreaks, they may be reversals and setbacks. It may be the result of other people's malice or greed or pride or betrayal. It's what wars are made of on a large scale and even on a small scale. Job talks about as sparks fly upward, so are people born to trouble. And yet, James is saying, when these things happen to us, consider it nothing but joy. Viktor Frankl, you may have heard of him, who endured and survived Auschwitz and other concentration camps, said this: between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and our freedom. Isn't that amazing? Between stimulus and response, there's a space. And in that space is our power to choose our response. And in our response lies our growth and our freedom. So James is telling us to consider it nothing but joy. How can he say that? Because he goes on to say, because these trials can actually benefit us. Verse 3 continues on, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete and lacking in nothing. Welcoming trials, because they're part of our maturing. It's in how we respond to the trials of life. Without any trials at all in our life, we will remain immature. with the trials but responding in a poor fashion to them, we will grow, but we will grow stunted and twisted. The risk of being repetitive, Viktor Frankl said something else, and I'm not quoting it word for word, it's just from my memory. What he saw in Auschwitz, what he saw with the way people responded within those horrific situations, and what he has seen then as he went on into his profession as a psychiatrist after all of that. He said something like this, and it's not his quote. Everything can be taken from a person except one thing. The last great freedom of choosing our attitude to our circumstances. The freedom to choose our own way. And he was inferring no matter what people may be doing around us. And as Christians, we would say the freedom to choose his way in this particular situation. We can grow. And that's what James is telling us here. That's why there can be joy in this. Because even in this situation, we can grow. We can grow in the areas that money can't buy, the areas that you can't get a college graduation education in these areas, areas like compassion. Areas like empathy, areas like love and strength and patience, those things are not sold over the counter. They are things that come, James tells us, from facing the trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and then let endurance have its full effect so we may be mature and complete and lacking in nothing. That last little bit there where it talks about mature and complete, lacking in nothing. It's a complicated words there in the Greek. It's not talking about perfection. It's talking about that we will be in that place where we are fit for the purpose. We won't be like each other, you know, in the same sense that I'm not like the pelican. I don't have to be like the pelicans, but as I allow myself to respond through God's power and strength, then I can become fit for the purpose that God may have for me, and the same for you. It may be through that brokenness, it may be through that difficult childhood, it may be through all kinds of situations that we then become fit, even though the things that may have happened to us or the part of the road that we may have gone may have been the hardest thing that we've ever experienced in our life. But as a result of that, there may be some time we can look back and see that it was through those experiences that we became fit for the purpose of understanding someone else, of being able to draw alongside of someone and feel their pain and be able to speak life into their life. You know, it's that book by Henry Nguyen. I don't know if you've read it, but the title says it all, The Wounded Healer. And that's who we are. If we're going to be fit for the purpose of touching other people's lives, the only people's lives that we'll be touching are humans, and so they'll be broken lives. The only life we've got to use or to make available to God is a broken life. But we can be a healer even though we're a wounded healer. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Talks about these kinds of things that Paul experienced as he's encouraging the Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation. the imparting of strength, the imparting of courage, the imparting of a capacity to be able to endure consolation. He's the one, it says in verse 4, who consoles us in all of our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the same consolation which we ourselves are consoled by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, so also our consolation is abundant through Christ. What was the background of all this? Well, just jump down to verse 8. We do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of the afflictions that we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly, unbearably crushed that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death so that we would not rely on ourselves, but that we would rely on God who raises the dead. And he who rescued us from so deadly a peril will continue to rescue us. And on him we have set our hope that he will rescue us again. And you also join in, helping us by your prayers so that many will be giving thanks on our behalf for the blessings that are granted to us through the prayers of many. So it's in this very earthy context. Visited Erica Stevenson the other day, and she just gave me this little thing as she left. She didn't know where it came from, but she's remembered it most of her life. Simple little poem, I guess. Jesus helped me yesterday, and today he did the same. How long will this continue? Forever. Praise his name. And she said that has just come to her mind while I was there, and I needed to hear that. And it was good to share with her in that way. So, trials are an indispensable part of life. Let's respond to them creatively, positively, because they can benefit us. But as James goes on to say, it's with the wisdom that we receive from God. Verse 5. If any of you is lacking in wisdom, and he's talking about in the context of what he's just said, if any of you is lacking in wisdom, ask God, who gives to all generously and, mine says, ungrudgingly, Gary said, without finding fault, and it will be given to you. The wisdom to respond creatively. The wisdom to respond to these challenges in a way that is stimulating for our growth and for other people's growth is not something that we naturally possess. We must seek it, and we must receive it from God. And that's the beautiful thing we've got to keep reminding ourselves and reminding each other. God is at work. God is always at work. And what God wants is for us to mature. He's not going to respond to our prayers in a way like that passage said that Gary wrote and find fault with us. That's not what he's on about. He's wanting us to grow. He's wanting us to mature. And he'll give us that wisdom when we ask for it. This passage says generously. Not begrudgingly, not sort of, oh, you know, doling out the cents worth, but opening his storehouses and giving us all the wisdom that we need to be able to respond to that situation. But this is where this quote of Viktor Frankl comes in. Between stimulus and response is a space. And it's in that space that we need That arrow prayer or that arrow attitude, that consciousness that we're not responding to this stimulus alone, but that God is right here in the midst, even in that space, whether it's just seconds, nanoseconds. And in that moment, he is wanting us. We need to believe that he's wanting us to grow. He's for us. He's on our side. That's what it talks about asking in faith. It's not talking about asking with some huge amount of faith that can, you know, overcome this great big thing. It's just talking about faith, trusting in him, eyes on him. Abba, Papa, hands up. I don't know what to do. Here I am. Papa, Papa. Faith, looking to him, believing that he is, having no idea how he's going to work, but our eyes on him. Just like a little child has their eyes on that big brother or that uncle or that mum or dad or that teacher or that friend. And the promise is here that he will give it generously and ungrudgingly. What does Romans 8, 28 and 29 say? I'm sure you don't even have to look. Turn it up. We know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purpose. What is his purpose? It goes on to say that we will be, verse 29, conformed to the image of his Son. So, Lord, it's the wisdom that we need to help us to respond to the trials of life in such a way that we will be more conformed to the image of your Son. In that space between stimulus and response, we invite God to guide us and trust that he wants to guide us. And he can guide us, and he can help us. And we will be fit for the purpose, mature, complete, lacking in nothing, that we need to be who he wants us to be in a particular moment in time. Or we may be scarred. We may be battered. We may have splinters, we may be frayed around the edges. We might have lost all of our skin and fur like the old skin horse. But we will be stronger by the seeking. We will be stronger by the waiting. And because we have been seeking him and because we have been waiting on him, the Lord, we will mount up with wings like eagles. We shall run and not be weary, and we shall walk and not faint. For the Bible tells us so. We shall triumph, not over our trials, not around our trials, not away from our trials, through our trials. Like the little song says about going on a bear hunt, going to catch a big one. But there's the forest. Oh. Little kids learn, can't go over it, can't go under it, can't go around it. Have to go through it. Have to go through it. And we can triumph through trials, because we are the children of God. Abba, Father. It's the Spirit in us who cries that out. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful promises. We thank you for your presence in our life. Increase our faith. that we might believe that we are yours and you are ours, that you are within us, closer to us than we are to ourselves, and that that is never ever going to change. And help us with this joy that the Holy Spirit inspires within us as we experience life as your child. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.